Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you about, did you make the honor roll? Amen. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Did anybody graduate with a white sash? My wife did. Dawn did. Amen. Who else? Hold your hand up. You should be proud of that. Amen. That's a big deal. You know, I came close, but I never got there. But I want to talk about that a little bit today, because I think we need to, if we can, just share a couple of things. I think it's good to shake you a little bit. Amen. And you need to think, because your lantern ought to be filled with oil. And the wick should be trimmed. And part of that is you honoring God. Amen. So I got a good message here today. And I think you need to take good notes and let it challenge you, okay? Because we need to be honoring God. Amen. Because I don't know about you, I want to make the honor roll. Amen. Amen? So let's pray together this morning. Pray with me. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me today, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us right where we are. We thank you, Lord, as you speak to us. Lord, you just give us your revelation knowledge about this topic and about different aspects of honor, Lord, that we should be doing and that we should be focused on, and that we are respectful, Lord, of you and your word. And that we are not only respectful of it, but we're doers of it. And Lord, we just give you praise for these things. And we give you glory. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today through your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Melissa had a good birthday. We went out Friday night. We went to this place called Hop Daddy. I always call it Hop Daddy. But it was good. You want a good cheeseburger, good hamburger? It's a good place to go. And they got great fries and all that. We had a good time. I ate two slices of cake. I hadn't had two slices of cake in a long time. They were small. But boy, did it really, that was a sugar rush and a half. I hadn't had anything like that since before November of last year. And man, it was good. But the hamburger I had was wrapped in lettuce. It was a beautiful thing. And they have that there. And it's good. Amen. If you want a good hamburger, we went to an escape room. And we did the seven deadly sins in the escape room. It's Escapeology here in Bartlett. And we like supporting things in Bartlett. We love Bartlett. And we went there and we started solving things left and right. Got up into, I didn't know they had it. Most of the escape rooms have small rooms. This place had multiple rooms. And we got upstairs. I told Thomas when the door opened, I said, I bet there's a body up there. He was laughing, I was laughing. When we got up there, it was tough. And then looking around, all of a sudden I flipped these switches because we could tell what it said to do. The clue was on a leather strap on a chair that blended into the chair if you missed it just by walking around. And I did what it said, flipped the switches, and all of a sudden in the center of the room, the floor opened up and tilted up like this, and there was more clues. It was exciting. We had a good time. It was like Scooby-Doo on steroids. But we had a good time, and Melissa had a good birthday. But she got something for her birthday that was a lot of fun. She got this new T-shirt, and she was so excited about it. The front of the T-shirt says, I can't argue with my husband. On the back it says, he's older than me and old people don't listen. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Amen. The other day we went to a movie and we sat on the aisle seat. That's where I like to sit, on the aisle seat. And I do it because it makes me feel like I got a little more room and I can get up real easy. But just as the movie was about to start, this lady gets up from the center and she starts pushing her way through, going by everybody saying, excuse me, sorry, oops, excuse me, pardon me, oops, I'm sorry, excuse me, I'm sorry. By the time she got to me, the love of God was pouring out of me, and I was trying to look around her to see what the previews were. I like the previews. You like the previews? I like getting there early enough to see the previews. And when she got to me trying to look around, I was getting a little impatient. I said, couldn't you have done this a little bit earlier? And she said, no, in a loud whisper. She goes, the turn off your cell phone, please message just flashed up on the screen and mine is in the car. Some of you are slow on that. Maybe you or her. Amen. All right. Let's talk about, did you make the honor roll? You know, I haven't taught on this subject since I did the RMAI, the Rhema Ministerial Association Youth Camp at Lambeth University. I was thinking about it this morning. I actually got the poster in my office of that camp, and the camp was called Vessels of Honor. And there's scriptures about being a vessel of honor. And how many of you know it's good to be honorable? That's right. It's good to be honorable. We've done camps for a long time. I spoke at a lot of youth camps around the country. And one of my favorites was up in the Sandia Mountains in New Mexico. It was beautiful up there. It was a sweet camp, sweet move of the Holy Ghost. The youth pastors, she and her husband were the youth pastors. She was the youth pastor. He had a Baskin and Robbins ice cream shop in Albuquerque. And that was a beautiful experience. After we had lunch, we would go get ice cream every day. It was a lot of fun. But I spoke on honor at that camp. It was something they wanted. And I don't know that I've ever spoke on this at church per se, but I think this is something we all need to hear because it's important that we honor God. Amen? You should shout big time about that. You need to honor God. You need to honor God. Amen. I remember after getting off the road, and we had done youth camp for a long time and traveled and ministered, it led worship before thousands of teenagers at different events and things. I remember going to this youth camp after being off the road for a while, and one of the youth pastors, how many of you ever been around a smart aleck? Oh, come on. And you love them, don't you? Bless their darling hearts. And he sat there and made fun of my age and made fun of all the things I did. He's not in ministry anymore today. Do what? No, I didn't annihilate him, but the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. And you know, I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate when somebody doesn't communicate well. I just don't. Because you need to respect people. Amen? Respect is important. And he made some statements from the pulpit to all the teenagers. Well, I think Melissa was staying with our youth group at that camp, Coker Creek, and I decided I'm going to go back to the house after those comments. Well, they had one problem after another, and a lot of it revolved around that youth pastor. One of the camps, he took fireworks and blew up toilets. He was responsible for it. This was the seeds he was planting. How many of you know that's not honorable? Now, I can harp about stuff like that, but you know, in life, you need to be honorable, but you especially need to be honorable to God. Can you say amen? You especially need to be honorable to God. Now, I want you to take this with love and hear what I'm saying. I read this quote the other day, and it's powerful, and I think you ought to let it speak to you, because you know the Bible talks about, especially read the Beatitudes this afternoon. Go back through there, read it from different translations, let it speak to you. But I heard this minister recently said, it amazes me that we believe that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you and me slide. Your oil needs to be in your lamp. You need to make sure the wicks are trimmed and ready to be turned on. If fact, they should be turned on now. I remember going to summer school for 2 summers in a row, not because I failed a class, but because I wanted to graduate high school early. And I worked hard. The second summer, I had to take Algebra 1. I did not do well. I had a difficult time with it. I had a teacher who mumbled. He would turn around at the board and not look at the students. And I had hearing problems back then. I read lips a lot because that was the way I could understand what he was saying. But he would turn up here and like this. All I could hear was a chalk hitting the board. It sounded like Charlie Brown. He didn't like teaching. He did not respect students. And therefore, the students did not respect him. Did you understand that? You need to respect and honor the things of God. You know, we get upset over certain things that we really ought to take a minute and take a deep breath and think about it before we get upset about it. You know, we're supposed to live right. You do not have a license to sin. Can I say that again? You do not have a license to sin. But a lot of the hyper-grace teaching about that has really got a lot of people messed up. We're seeing a lot of pastors and well-known ministers of late, just like we saw back when we were younger with Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. And all those different cats back then, there was one fall after another. We're seeing that start happening again. What goes around comes around is what Lester Summerall always said. I've seen it once, I'll see it again, and so will you. Different teachings have gone through the ranks, and they're not new. How many of you know the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun? The same type of things have come around before. They're just packaged different. They're made to sound different. There was one pastor who was here in Memphis, had a big church, but he got into some false doctrine and the church split apart like crazy. Amen. I got someone who's very dear to me and we've talked about some of that. And they were a part of that at the time. It was hurtful, very hurtful, because they felt like they had a license to do whatever they wanted and it was okay. But how many of you know you can sow seeds for so long, and those seeds are going to produce a crop. They will reap a harvest. You are to be honorable, and you should be honorable to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So you got your hand out here. There is fill in the blank on here. You ought to write down what we're going to have up here or take pictures of it with your phone because you need to hear this. It's important. I really believe it's important, especially in the days that we are currently living in. Anything can change in 48 hours or less. Anything can change in 6 hours. Anything can change in 1 hour. You need to be honoring God at all times. Amen. So let's look at a couple of scriptures this morning. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. God says, "For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly what? Lightly esteemed." Notice what it says here. It says, "They, them that honor me, I will what?" Now this is a law. This is a principle by which the kingdom of God operates. Let me say it again. This is a law. It is a principle that the kingdom of God operates on. You need to be honoring God and His Word. Even James talked about how you need to be a doer of the Word and not a what? And we have a lot of hearers in the world that we're living in today, but not a lot of doers. I think Jesus is coming back for the doers. Amen. We can't skate through things and expect everything to be good. You need to honor God. You need to honor Him. Respect Him. Amen. Them that honor me, I will honor. This is a law. Again, it's a principle by which the kingdom of God operates. When we honor God, we will also be what? Honored. When we honor God, we will also be honored. Well, what does it mean to honor God? Well, in the New Testament, the Greek word for honor means to view as valuable. Everybody say valuable. To view as valuable, to view as precious. Amen. How many of you still have your wedding ring? I got mine. You know, it's not just the golden band. Melissa was a gemologist. We met at a she worked at a jewelry store. One of my youth workers introduced us. But my wife liked to make it look nice. So this was the nicest thing I ever was given in my life. And it was not because we were married. I love you. It was not because we were married. It was just, it's got three diamonds in it. It's grooved. It's polished. Every once in a while, we might go to a jewelry store when we're walking around. They put it on the stick and kind of tap it a little bit with the rubber hammer. Is it a rubber hammer they use? And they get it where it's round again. But I've had this ever since I said I do. And she's had hers ever since we said I do. And they're precious. They are what? Valuable. Everybody say valuable. The ring is precious and valuable. I always think about Tammy Wynette and Conway Twitty. Golden ring with one time. You all know the song. Things need to be valuable to you. This ring, you know what this ring represents? This ring represents honor. This ring represents that my wife is precious, that our love is precious. The ring, I've used it on one or two weddings, but the circle is never ending. Love should never cease. Are you here? That's honorable. That's valuable. And that should be precious to you. Everybody say precious. Precious. Amen. Precious. We were at a table once at a famous preacher's house. And some of us with part of the road crew, we were sitting in a couple seats. I was right next to this minister's, one of his daughters. And the rest of us were around the table. Around the table was David Vancouvering. He was the one who worked with, I forgot his first name, but the guy who created the Moog synthesizer, or the Moog synthesizer. And we were all around the table and stuff. And I tell you what, there was a lot of things being said. But the funniest thing that was said was the little kid perked up and said, "Well, Daddy, that's not what you said about him. You said blah, 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 blah." And that particular preacher, he turned around, looked at his son, he put his hand on his shoulder, and I thought that kid was going to crawl under the table because he said too much. He didn't value what his father was saying privately. You know, some things are important that we honor and that we consider valuable and precious. That's a good example. But the thing that really should be valuable and precious to you more than anything in your life should be that Bible that you have and that word that you hold. You should treasure this. It is more valuable than the ring on your finger. It is more valuable. The Bible talks about you're supposed to hang these things around your neck. When you hang a necklace or something around your neck, it covers your heart usually. Those things should be precious and dear to your heart. They should be valuable and important. Amen. Again, the New Testament Greek word for honor means to view as valuable, to view as precious. And when we talk about honoring God, we're talking about valuing Him. And it's not just in church. It's not just in church. We should value and esteem Him in every area of our lives. Because if we do not honor God, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen up. Pull your britches up, curl your toes. If we do not honor God, we will not advance and prosper. I don't know, some of you might flex up. You can't say that. You don't know me. I know this. If you're not a doer of this word, don't you expect things to go smooth for you. You can push all you want, but you're going to push yourself into having your conscience seared and not be able to hear from heaven because you're doing your thing and not His. Amen? We should honor God. We should treat what He says as valuable and true. I don't care what another preacher says. What does His Word say? You need to honor His Word. You need to be a doer of His Word. You should consider Him your most precious treasure, your silver, your gold. He should be everything to you. In the book of Job, it talks about laying all the things that you think are precious in the brook and make the Lord God your Almighty, your gold and your precious silver treasure. He should be it, baby. Amen. Y'all remember the Virginia Slim commercial? You come a long way, baby. Some of you know. Let me tell you something. You want to go a long way with Jesus? You better honor Him. Or you won't be hearing, well, you've come a long way, thou good and faithful servant. Because one day rewards will be given out. How did you honor my word? The books will come out. They'll be laid open. What did you do? How did you honor me? It's going to all come out. And that should be sobering to you. And again, what that preacher said a couple weeks ago, I wrote it down. It amazes me how we believe that God could crush and kill His own Son, but let you slide. There'll come a time where sliding will cease. There's going to come a time when you've had every opportunity to do what is right. And you're going to answer for it. So that's not right. You can't say that. I can too because the Word says that. You're supposed to be a vessel of honor. You're supposed to be a vessel of honor. Can I say it again? You're supposed to be a vessel of honor. You got to be a vessel of honor. We can talk all we want, but you better put your money where your mouth is. I know a lot of people that talk a good talk, but your money better be put where your mouth is. Amen. If you don't honor God, you're not going to advance or prosper in the way that He would like for you to. That's why I want to discuss four keys today that you need to get. You need to get this today, okay? The first one is this. Number one, honor God. Say that out loud. Honor God. Honor God. Well, to honor God, we must bring Him our first and our best. Amen. Now, please, I'm not pumping for an offering or anything like that. You need to hear this because it's a part of Scripture. We're supposed to honor Him in our giving. Can you say amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance. Your substance. With the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with, and your presses shall burst forth, or burst out with what?
New wine.
New wine. You want increase in your life? You better honor God first. You want to see blessings in your life? You better honor God first. These verses are talking about the substance or the things that you possess. Everybody say, my substance, my possessions. You're supposed to honor God first. In fact, the word first fruits helps us understand something very deep here. We cannot honor God with our leftovers. Hello, McFly, anybody there? McFly! Y'all know the movie. The scriptures are very clear about honoring God. Don't give him seconds. How many of you like leftovers? Sometimes. Like when we make steak at the house, y'all like my steaks, right? Oh, yeah. And shrimp. I like making shrimp, too, if I can put it all in a skillet and dump all that garlic on it and salt and pepper. And whew, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh. But, you know, that kind of meal doesn't taste good leftover. It tastes good when it's fresh. How many of you know certain things just really taste good when it's fresh? And the steaks, we like, the leftover steaks are pretty good. I cook them so you can pop them in the microwave later and still keep them medium. I like that, because that's tender. You know, medium, you can cut it with a fork if you do it right. Sure can, every time. Be like Loretta Lynn, do you proud every time. But there are certain foods that just don't taste good leftover. Right? We had a friend of ours, he youth pastored for us for a while. He was colorblind. And one day for Christmas, we bought him a box of crayons, took all the wrappers off the crayons. He still laughs about that. But what he doesn't laugh about is his mother would put cake out and it had mold on it so she could get rid of it. But he couldn't see it. She also decorated his room in pink because she liked the color. But to him, it was all gray. Those things aren't cool. Are you listening to me? Sometimes in life, folks, we put God second place. We can't do that and expect the best. You can talk is cheap, but you better be a doer. Everybody say, I'm a doer. Amen. These, again, it's your substances. It's your possessions. And it's important that we cannot honor God with our leftovers. We always give him our very, very, very best. Because when we do, the second part of verse 10 says there's a reward. There is an honor that comes back to us. Can you say amen? Amen? Come on, this is good teaching. This is good preaching. We're going to have to play just as I am at the end of the service. You are the potter, Jesus, and I am just the clay. Mold me, shape me. You need to honor God. Honor God. Number two, you need to honor God's word. You need to honor God's word. Secondly, very important, you need to honor the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, and verses 20 and 22. I know you've probably read this, but it needs to be like, you need to be able to have this memorized, I think. This ought to be a part of your life more than anything else. You ought to know this verse. This verse says, my son, talking about you, my son, my daughter, talking about you, talking about me. What are you supposed to do? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are what?
Life.
You see that there? But we don't value life. We don't value things that are important. We treat other people's stuff with disrespect. We treat other people's time and don't honor them. How are you treating God? Are you honoring His word? Because you're supposed to be a doer of the word. Are you hearing me? Hey, I will pour in the oil and the wine after church and rub it in, okay? But listen to me. My son, my daughter, pay attention to my words, one translation says. Straighten. One translator wrote, I was looking at it the other day. I put some books in my office at home, and I looked at one of the translations where the commentator wrote some things. He said, my son, my daughter, you better pay attention to what I'm saying. You better pay close attention to what I am saying. And he had I am all in caps. Okay? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. He went on when I was reading. He said, your ear should be glued to the word. Your eyes should be glued to the word. Because the next part says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Those are big keys right there. You ought to underline all those honoring blessing parts. The word is so important that God the Father's telling you and me, what I say is life. What I say is life to you if you'll dig deep and find me. There are aspects of God a lot of us will never touch the surface of because we refuse to discipline ourselves to know Him. We get excited when the prosperity message is preached. We get excited when the blessings are come to you and talked about. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! But I'm going to tell you something. His words are greater than those blessings. His words are life. They are life. Can I go a little bit further here and kind of give you a little brain lock to think about? His words hold this whole thing, the universe, together. His essence of who He is runs the big top show. And my God is the ringmaster. You should know His heart and know what He says, because it is precious and it is valuable. It is life unto those that find them, and it is what? Health. Health to all of your flesh. Woo! Folks, the Word of God is your foundation. It is our foundation. It is alive and full of power. Everybody shout power. His Word is alive and full of power. But you have to put it first in your own heart. Can I say this? You ready? Curl your toes, love you. You better quit treating His Word as ordinary. I'll say it again. Come on, say it again, say it again. His Word is your foundation. It's alive and full of power. You must not treat it as ordinary. I've heard people come at me, I've heard that before. Well, I think to myself, well, why aren't you doing it? Again, talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. You can talk a good talk, good game, but buddy, how you play it in life, that'll determine the winner and the loser. Amen. We must not treat the Word of God as ordinary. I think the most powerful move of God you can ever have is when you get a revelation, because you have dug so deep, you start seeing the reality of the very presence of the Almighty that's not only in the written word that we read, but there's something that bursts on the inside of you that changes everything. There is a depth of knowledge, of truth, of well-being, of peace that surpasses all understanding, that when you come and you partake of what He has to say, you treat His words as precious, as life, as bread, the best tasting bread you've ever eaten, and you begin to eat it and you devour the Word and it just keeps speaking to you and expanding, and you start realizing what it means to be full of life and full of His presence, something changes in you. Because you're not treating Him as ordinary. In fact, that's what dishonor means. To treat as common or ordinary. Amen. To treat as common or ordinary. That's dishonor. You should never ever treat God as ordinary. We have to keep His Word in our hearts. We ought to stay in love with it. We should never despise it. For you see, church, if we despise the Word of God, it will profit you nothing. If you despise reading your Bible, you put other things first, it's not going to profit you anything. But what we honor, we will be honored with. That's something to write down in a journal. What you honor, you will be honored with. Think about that. I love our mayor. I'm so thankful for David Parsons and Miss Becky. I love them so much. I tell you what, David's all about honor. He really is. Such a blessing. But I tell you what, in our own lives, we got to realize, and I want to honor the mayor at every chance I get. If he asks me to do something, I want to honor him. But in the same turn, we got to realize when it comes to the things of God, we need to honor God and quit treating His Word like second leftovers. Quit treating His Word as if it's not important. It is very important. A lot of us have more pride in the pink slips we've gotten from our work than we do in the honor that we've given to those who employ us. Gosh, did I just say that? Yeah, you did. Listen to me. Honor, it pours out of you and it affects the prosperity and promotions that come into your life. You should be promoting and honoring God's Word first. Are you listening to me this morning? All right, two more real quick. Number three, are y'all good with this? Come on, this is good preaching, good teaching. Number three, you need to honor God's servants. Everybody say God's servants. Amen. Some people have a problem with this. And to be honest with you, I think the reason they have a problem with it is because they have never honored anybody. And they don't realize how that's affected their poverty. And they don't realize how that's affected their job situation and everything else. You have to honor the things of God. You have to honor God Himself. You've got to honor His Word. But the Bible talks about how important it is that we honor God's servants. And that's scriptural. From the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Amen. Good. Oh man, I don't have time today, but I tell you what, you want to realize some things about what God likes and what God dislikes? Study what Paul liked and what Paul disliked. That'll straighten up your wagon real quick. There was things he didn't like about Demas or Alexander the coppersmith, but there's some powerful things that he said about other people in the New Testament. You ought to think about those points. They're powerful. Amen. But when Jesus came to his own hometown, and we all know the story, but He came to His own hometown, and He began to teach in the synagogue. Y'all remember that? And what does it say that happened? It says in Mark 6, 5, he could there do no mighty work. You know, after he even spoke that day, they took him up to a high cliff, and what were they going to do to him? Throw him off! They wanted to kill him. Throw him off the cliff! Wow. I've seen some denominational churches do that to some of their leadership. That's dangerous. That's another message. Why did they want to throw him off? Why do they want to get rid of him? I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus wasn't... It wasn't because Jesus wasn't anointed. He was. It was because the people were offended by that anointing. The people were offended by the word they heard. And they treated what he said as common. They treated what he said, what he ministered, as common. Their attitude was, we know who you are. You're just the carpenter's son. Some of them even said, who do you think you are telling us that? Look at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 later today. Study it out. They were offended because they could not receive from him. Are you ready? Listen to me. You got to understand that you will always receive from what you honor. There are things in our lives we may need to stop honoring and giving so much value to, but not the things of God nor the servants of God. We should honor those who bring us the word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We should respect the anointing, honor the anointing. You know, it amazes me sometimes how many people disrespect the Holy Ghost. They think they know better, or they have itching ears instead of hearing ears. They want something to tickle me, Elmo, instead of respecting the anointing. You know, if you don't respect the Holy Ghost when he brings himself to you for ministry, he ain't going to minister. He'll just step back. You go do your thing. We ought to respect and honor the things of God, but we need to respect and honor the anointing of God on his servants. Let me give you another scripture. Matthew 10 and verse 41. He that receiveth honors, that's what the word receiveth mean, he that honors a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And prophet could be a teacher, it could be pastor, it could be anybody, okay? But if we honor the gift of God, we're going to receive that reward too. He that honors a righteous man, he that receiveth honor, he that receiveth a righteous man or honors a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Amen. You know, I don't like making... I know we had our friends come over... local pastor here in town, and we're just talking about the word. His wife is just super genius with her iPad and music. That was astounding to me how she could click, and you got to hear about this, Wesley and Chase. It was cool. Pushing a button, go back to choruses and bridges with the push of a button. The tracks were amazing. They weren't as good as your tracks, but it was how she could do that was really interesting. But we started talking about the anointing and why it's important. You know, I want to respect and honor somebody if they're talking to me. I don't want to make fun of them, tell them they're old. Come on. I don't want to make fun of somebody and throw them under the bus because I don't like what they're saying. I want to honor that. And so Mark was sitting there talking to me, and we were just having, we were talking about the anointing. We were talking about R.W. Shambach. We were talking about John Lake and different other preachers from the days of old. And there's this respect and awe as we were talking. The ladies were in the kitchen or whatever. I don't remember what they were doing. But we were just the power of God, the very essence of the men of God. We talked about Catherine Kuhlman. Even the women of God who have sown seeds that have affected my life. I can't think of her name right now. But I remember going to the Knoxville Civic Coliseum and hearing her back in the day. Brother Hagin always talked about her. I think of it, and it'll come to me in a minute. But, man, it was just, we've talked about her as well, and it just touched my heart because, and Mark looked at me and says, you know, it's because we've honored those gifts of God. God has been honoring us because we've honored the anointing that has been spoken to us, and that same anointing now flows through us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we have to honor that. You have to honor and respect that. You have to partake from it. Amen. If we honor and receive from the God-ordained men and women that the Lord has placed in ministry and in our lives, we will receive the reward of the anointing that God has placed upon their lives. Amen. You'll receive that reward. You'll receive that anointing. Can you say amen? All right. I want to do the last one real quick. Number four, honor what God honors. Honor what God honors. Finally, folks, to honor God is to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Now, in this verse, you see the word fear there? Fear does not mean we're afraid of God. Fear means that we honor and we reverence Him and we show Him respect. Respect. If God hates pride and arrogance, anything to do with evil, and a mouth that speaks against the people of God and the things of God, so should we. Yet the primary attribute of God is love. But what does God love? Who does God love? People. For God so loved the world that He gave His what? Only Son. So that people could come to know Him. To love God is to love people. To honor God is to honor people. But we not only need to reach out to a lost and dying world, but we also need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our honor and love for God won't rise any higher than the person we love the least. I'm going to say that one more time. Our honor and love for God won't rise any higher than the person that we love the least. Would you stand up on your feet? I want to challenge you today with a question. All right? Will you choose to honor God and be counted as those among, to be counted among those on His honor roll? How many of you raise a hand towards heaven and say, "That's me, Pastor"? Amen. Will you choose to honor God and be counted among those on His honor roll? You know, I got to sit right behind everybody that had a white sash. And I had a black robe, brother, let me tell you, glory to God. And I had a golden tassel. But I didn't have that white sash. And I got to tell you, I envied the white sash. Are you listening to me? I envied the white sash. I envied it. I wanted the white sash. I want to tell you this today. If you accepted Jesus into your heart, you got more than a white sash. Hallelujah. Woo! You've been washed clean. Oh my God, think about it. What's the scripture say? Though your sins be... Though your sins be as blood as scarlet, He's made you what? Will you choose to honor God in His Word? Will you be counted among His faithful who are on the honor roll? Because I'm telling you, Jesus didn't just give you the white sash to wear with your robe. He's given you the whole robe. You are covered with the robe of righteousness. Amen. We should honor Him and show Him respect. Love His word above all else and put Him first. Can you say amen? Amen. Did you learn something today? Thank you for letting me finish. Amen. So, all right, you're all standing. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your word today. Lord, this is one of those messages you have to kind of let it push you a little bit. Lord, I just thank You that we're pushed to the right side. Lord, that we dig deeper, that we love You more, that we want to worship You more. Lord, that we count what You said in Your word as holy, holy, Your holy written word that's life and health to all of our flesh. Lord, we just thank You that it's real to us, that it gets even more and more and more real than it's ever been before. Because everything that You are is everything that we are. Lord, let us see things through Your eyes. When people come before us, let them know there's something different about us. Let them look at us and think, oh my gosh, those eyes. I like being around You. You're fun. No, I just got my daddy's eyes. I got my Father's eyes. Everything that He is, I am. I got Daddy's heart. I got Daddy's spirit. I got Daddy's love. Lord, I just pray that it be real to each of us more than ever before. Because You've given us power and dominion. You have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. May we treasure that more than the air that we breathe. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, if you need to tweak some things in your heart today, just tell the Lord right there, I'm going to do that. Woo, I'm going to do that. Lord, You're everything to me. While your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you're watching online or you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer and ask Him into your heart. In fact, we'll all pray it together right now, and you can pray with us. Make your heart right today. Know that you're going to go to heaven. Pray with me, church. Pray with me if that's you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to die for me, to shed His blood for me, so that I could have life, so that I could be saved, so that I could come to the knowledge of the truth and be born again. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my life for You and honor You and serve You. I believe that You were raised from the dead. And I thank You that You saved me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, let us know you prayed that prayer. Send us an email. It's on the